G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing
Ewan Grant for breakfast on Triple M.
I am trying not to be excited this morning. We are leading into a long weekend and there is so much to do. Kelpie Festival is taking place over the border. The Tour de France is on and there's a whole heap of other stuff that I want to tell you about across the morning this morning. There'll be some sport to talk about today. We might even talk about some politics. Might see if we can get the local member Troy Bell on the line later on today to have a chat to us. It's been a while since we talked to Troy. Now on 963 Triple M, one of the other things that's going on this morning, the last of our Give Me Five auctions for this week is going under the hammer at 9 o'clock this morning. We have got showdown tickets for you. I've got a bid of $200 right now for the showdown tickets. They could be yours. I'm going to give you more details across the morning on how you can be part of our final auction of the week. And again, a big thank you to everybody who has taken part in our fundraising for the kids' wards at the local hospitals across the region.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Well, talking of classic artists, there is news that's come out about the late, great Prince. Now, apparently, a new album of previously unheard material recorded by the musician Prince is to be released. His estate has announced the decision to release a whole host of unheard material on what would have been Prince's 60th birthday. I cannot wait for it. Prince is one of the greatest musicians that that we have seen over the course of a number of decades. And to be able to have the opportunity to listen to some of the incredible music that that man was able to create over the course of his lifetime, I think will be just very, very special.
Thanks for listening to the 963 Triple M Brekkie Show. Ewan's just a phone call away. 132710.
What?
That's 132710.
Going to catch up with Katra in just a moment on 963 Triple M. But some of the things that you're waking up to this morning, Australia's biggest telcos will be forced to report customer complaints, apparently. There's a raft of new rules to fix customer woes when moving on to the NBN, which are not before time. Also, there's news about the ATO that we're going to talk about later on this morning, because the ATO, as always, has set down the groups that they're going to look at in the lead up to this year's tax deductions round. On 963 Triple M, it's time for us to find out what's making news locally. Here's Katja. Good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, the federal government are increasing the number of vaccines available for locals. A $10,000 grant has been provided to Millicent United Soccer Club. Limestone Coast locals are set to flock to the Sir Robert Helpman Theatre with the Australian Doctors Orchestra performing. And KidSafe have launched a new campaign as a part of National Burns Awareness Month. All of that in sport coming up soon.
The concert on Sunday, I think it is, by the way, at the Sir Robert Helpman Theatre for the Doctors Orchestra sounds really, really cool, by the way. Raising money for the Stand Like Stone Foundation.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Wanted to talk a little bit about soccer this morning because, the Socceroos are in the news at the moment for a number of very good reasons. Number one, as I find the page that I need to be looking at, Australia has leapt up four places in the final FIFA rankings before this month's World Cup. They'll enter the tournament in the best position since 2012. Now, this is on top of news that came about yesterday that one of soccer's greatest, I suppose, managers, the manager of Manchester United, he has an eye for talent, according to all reports, because I did a little bit of research yesterday. I caught up with a couple of mates of mine who are soccer aficionados. They know a whole lot more about the sport than I do. And, Jose Mourinho, I hope I've pronounced his name right. He is the manager of Manchester, and he obviously has watched how the Socceroos beat the Czech Republic last week. Now, this was a game that ended 4-0. Now, we are apparently going to be playing Hungary at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then just 6 days later at 7:30 on Saturday the 16th, we're going to be playing the first World Cup match against a heavily favoured French. Now, this is, I think, the Group B draw for the World Cup. And, well, he reckons that we are going to go through that round as winners, which would make one hell of a start to the World Cup. And with the World Cup merely weeks away, the backing of one of football's greatest showmen may encourage the Socceroos to do just a little bit better, which is pretty cool news as well.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M on the front page of the Border Watch this morning. Interesting reading. The member for Mount Gambier, Troy Bell, is on the front page of the paper, and he's calling for industry protection of foreign demand for wood grows. There is at least an idea that we are missing out on investments here in the Limestone Coast to the tune of about $300 million, including the creation of about 600 jobs, as raw logs bypass local production in favour of Chinese export markets. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see the amount of wood that is going out of the Port of Portland at the moment, and the sheer stockpiles of wood in and around Portland are eye-watering when you see how much is lying around waiting for the next ship to come in. But whether it's a case of we are missing out on investment of more than $300 million here in the Limestone Coast is a question that I'd like to put to Troy Bell, and I'll see if I can grab him later on this morning for a quick chat, because not only is he talking about log export, he's also been talking about fracking in the Limestone Coast over the last couple of days, and it'd be interesting to have a chat to him about both issues. One presumes, as economies of scale dictate, if somebody wanted to invest $300 million in the Limestone Coast because they thought they were going to make money from the process, one presumes that they would be doing so already. So I find it hard to believe that we are missing out on $300 million of investment and the creation of 600 jobs. But as I say, I'll see if I can chat to him later on this morning. It is the main story on the front page of the paper, though, so well worth taking a read. And making up your mind as to whether you think that there's an issue in the Limestone Coast at the moment.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
These days, with social media running rampant and such a big part of our lives, I've been fascinated this morning reading an article about a young lady, a model called Jacinta Franklin. Now, just 26 years of age, Jacinta has managed to purchase her own home. Now, she's made a career out of lucrative endorsement deals and a lot of influencing. She is a former Miss Universe Australia. She's an ambassador for Christian Dior, a coach for Tiffany & Co., for Olay Skincare, for Moët & Chandon, and many others. She's also been the face of David Jones. And, she earns hundreds of thousands of dollars for very short periods of work. She's reportedly paid $250,000 by Cadbury last year as part of just a 12-week contract. Where can you sign me up for one of them? That's what I want to know. I wonder whether the boss is listening this morning. Maybe I could have a contract for that amount of money. It is amazing what you are able to do with the opportunities that are afforded to you by social media these days, and being a public face. Now, on 963 Triple M, this is just one of the stories you're waking up to this morning. One of the others, of course, is that somebody in the Northern Territory is about to get the news this morning that they've woken up to be $50 million richer. Just think for a moment. Stop, pause, and just wonder what that sort of phone call would be like.
Right across the Limestone Coast, it's Ewan for breakfast on 963 Triple M.
I was reading earlier this morning about a guy in America, in Kansas, in fact, who had sold a lotto ticket to a regular customer. Now, that customer accidentally left their lotto ticket on the counter, and the ticket went on to become a winner. Now, the guy concerned tracked down the winner of the ticket and gave the money back. It was $1.3 million, and it brought up an interesting point. If you found a winning lotto ticket, would you give it back? There's been some interesting comments on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page this morning. Big shout out to Karen and to Matt, to Heather, to Robert, and a host of other people who have stopped on by. I would like to know what you would do. It's one of those dilemmas of morality. And if you'd like to join the conversation this morning, you can do so. 132710 is the number to call. You can also jump online to our Facebook page and let me know what you would do, or what you think you would do if you were faced with that situation. Now, on 963 Triple M, a lady who's not going to tell us whether she'd give the money back or not is Katja. She'd definitely give the money back, I can guarantee it. She joins us each and every morning in the newsroom. It is a big good morning to her.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local news headlines, the federal government has answered local calls for more flu vaccinations. The Stronger Communities program has provided a grant to Millicent United Soccer Club. The Australian Doctors Orchestra will be performing on the Limestone Coast for the first time, and KidSafe have launched a new campaign for local parents. All of that in sport, coming up soon.
In 10 minutes or so, Coach is going to be back, keeping us up to date with everything that we need to know. Hannah Rose Hamer and the team are going to be joining us. There's been a stabbing in Thailand. There's been a lot of talk about the upcoming summit between the US and North Korea. Hannah Rose Hamer and the team have been talking about that this morning, and we'll keep you up to date with all the other things you need to know as we start the day.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
On 963 Triple M, we are talking sport from across the nation. Barney and Milo are in the studio. KG is on the line. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, Barney and Milo. On this cool, cool morning.
Well, I tell you what, Ken, I think it's going to be not a minor but a major miracle for the Crows to worry September after the last couple of weeks. I mean, the injuries, just everything about it. I think we should just relax, enjoy the season, see how they go, not get too fussed.
Well, it's been one of those seasons from hell, Barney and Milo. Like, it's every week. It's not just this week or last week. It's been every week of the season. And what's caused it? Who knows? Obviously, a bit of bad luck. Is it bad at times? Bad management? Who knows? But they've certainly been smashed like you wouldn't believe. The Crows and going to Perth on Sunday to play Freo. They're coming off a hiding, and this becomes a huge game now for September. Well, every game's huge from here, but they've got to get back on track, as do Port Adelaide. So a very interesting round, guys.
Yeah, spot on. Crows got six teams above them in the final 10 games. Yep. Big ask. Now the Power, I reckon if they can knock off Richmond tonight and they're in with a chance at home,
yep,
they've only got three above them, and the showdown might be the one that seals it for them.
Well, it could be, Milo, there's no doubt about that, and no Dusty Martin. That's a huge plus for Port Adelaide. He's certainly the key to Richmond. So look, at home, they're always a significant chance, but they've just got to put four quarters together, Port Adelaide, and they're just not doing it at the moment. And, you know, injuries to Ryder or sore spots to Ryder worries me. Again, he's such an important player. So for both Port Adelaide and the Crows, a very, very big weekend, boys, absolutely.
Now, quarter time and three-quarter time, the Richmond coach will have to walk through the Port Power crowd. Are they going to have tape over the mouths? Are they going to be counselled? Will they be wearing headsets? I mean, how are we going to stop? Because he is a little precious, old Damo.
Well, he was last time. There's no doubt about that, Damien Hardwick. But the crowd's got a button their lip and just watch the game and don't make any remarks to the coach. But Damien was a little bit precious last time, as a couple of the coaches have been. So let's hope we don't see any nonsense tonight. Just hope we see a terrific game of football, because it'll be hot early, I can tell you. Very hot.
Now, our cricket team's in England and the sledging, yep, guidelines will be set. Now, you've got to love your old mate Ian Chappell. He hasn't mellowed. He reckons James Sutherland should have went years ago.
Well, that's an interesting point. It's interesting. Like, you don't want to see anybody lose their job, but there's been that pay dispute last year, which didn't help his cause. I don't think he handled that at all well. And, of course, the ball tampering. He didn't handle that as well as he should have either. And I think after 17 years, probably Cipelli's got it right again, that it probably is time with a new coach now and all this sort of business to sort of turn over a new page in the Australian cricket team's demeanour and performances on the ground. I think he's probably right, boys, to be quite frank.
Have you any idea of who you'd like to run cricket in Australia?
Well, that's a very interesting point. There's a lot of nominations and names being thrown about, Barney. The young lady from WA, in conjunction with Justin Langer, did a terrific job to get WA back. Now, I just can't think of the name. Christina, her first name, isn't it? Whether that lady gets the nod, I don't know, but she's done a terrific job with Western Australia. And it's not sort of ironic that Justin Langer is our new coach. So that might be a big sway for her.
Now, KG, just showing you touch a lot of names and people over the years. Big cheerio from ex-boxer and current coach for an Australian champ down here, Bobby Trigg. Now, he's coach Colin Cassidy. He's in his 60s now. You did his first interview many years ago, so people just don't forget, KG.
No, they don't. They don't forget, and it's people that like that that you remember, and you've got to pay full marks. No doubt about that, Milo, that's for sure.
Triple M rocks Limestone Coast local sport, thanks to Harvey Norman Mount Gambier.
Now, a 963 Triple M, Milo is still with me in the studio, and it's going to be a big weekend, mate.
Certainly, it's got something for everybody. A lot of people will head out, and a lot will head into the area. Southeast Footy heads to Robe, of course, and Good Morning President Johnny Fenton will have everything ship-shaped down by the seaside. It is the Infogen Southeast Zone Footy Carnival. And of course, seniors start at 10:40. The grand final is at 4:10. I'm tipping a very close contest with the K&T, who I call the Helmet Heads, regaining the title. But I think Footy will be the winner. And also, make sure you get your Big Freeze 4 beanie, $20. They'll be down at Robe. And of course, that's for the fight for MND. And they'll be at Congerong on Sunday at the Junior Carnival as well. Good luck to all the youngsters. Now, on the state footy scene, congratulations to the Southeast boys. They've made the SA 16 squad, and a little bit of a spread across the Limestone Coast Southeast. And Hamish McRae over there at Millicent, he's got in as an overage selection. And from Kingston, we have Luke Pedler and also Hagen Wright. Good morning, Kev, down that way. And Keith Will Schreiber, a very talented player on the way up. Now, on the big scene, AFL ex-Millicent player, now Essendon Bomber, Mason Redmond, has been selected in the interchange group, looking to play his fourth AFL game versus Brisbane on Sunday. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for him. He's been hanging in there for a while now. And talking basketball, congratulations and good luck, Mount Gambier junior basketballer Rory Perryman, who head to Melbourne this weekend to play in Australia's most prestigious junior basketball tournament, the National Junior Classic. And, of course, she's a member of the Sturt Sabres, which has meant a lot of travel for mum and dad, but it's obviously paid off, and that's the under-14 team there. Now, all the best also to the Mid-Sea, K&T and Western Border Netty teams that are heading to Adelaide for the indoor and outdoor country carnival. Weather looks all right, so won't be too bad out there. And that's the Priceline Stadium. And then, of course, Limestone Coast Football Association and Bendigo Bank Southeast Women's Football Association, which is Soccer of Woodball. They'll also be competing at the Country Carnival at West Beach in Adelaide. And, of course, BMX, the championships here in Mount Gambier. Welcome, everyone. And, of course, the friendly SA versus Vic on Sunday. And I think it is Sunday from memory. Now, if you're looking for a pleasant Sunday and the GGs, it's Apsley Cup. And, of course, they'll have a free bus from Mount Gambier, free kids' activities, fashions, local food, and, of course, the Giorgio family wines. And interesting. You're either going to have a backwards running race. Well, I hope they do that early. It could get messy, couldn't it?
It could indeed.
Jeez, I've got some visual pictures there. Poor men and women, look out. And full details, of course, like everything on the Apsley Racing Club Facebook site. Stay tuned. After 8, I'll catch up with talented Kaztec Rural Pioneers new recruit Sam McDaniel. Interesting story, his journey. And then 9 is the news. And after that, we'll have the Ray White-Keatley Triple M Know-It-Alls Netty and Footy Show, keeping country footy and Netty alive.
Now, we've got showdown tickets. We've got to find an owner for them by 9 this morning. I'll give you all the details on how you could bid for them after we update news, sport and weather. It's next on Triple M.
You've decided the Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
One of the things that you'll find on the front page of the Border Watch today is all about jobs going offshore. Our local member from Mount Gambier, Troy Bell, is looking resplendent in high-vis gear, and he's calling for industry protection as foreign demands for wood in our region grows. He joins me on the line, the member for Mount Gambier, Troy Bell. Good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, listeners.
Mate, you look great in high-vis.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I thought there might be a job opportunity when politics finishes to get in the high-vis and just start doing a bit of practicing now.
Mate, this is a conversation that has been on the burn for probably 6 months or more now. There's been lots of people talking about the amount of wood that's been going off the port in Portland, and a lot of people are very worried about it.
Well, I'm in that camp. I'm extremely worried. Over the last 12 months, I've had three different businesses, international businesses, come and see me, sit around the table. They're looking to put $300 million into our community and over 600 jobs. And their frustration that they can't get one scrap of fibre to do that just absolutely astounds me. And when you look at where all the wood's going, it's going to China. And I've done some research. The demand from China year in, year out is increasing. In fact, went up 20% last year. So what growers are doing is exporting those jobs out of Mount Gambier in the southeast straight to China.
Troy, I've got a couple of questions, and I am by no means a scholar on the subject, but yep. If someone's looking at making an investment of $300 million here in the Limestone Coast, wouldn't you expect that to do that they'd just pay more for the logs?
Well, the problem we've got is every other country around the world has put in export tariffs to China, or in fact actually banned the exporting of their wood. So Russia, which was China's biggest exporter of log, has put a 25% tariff on their logs going out. And what China have now done is they now take the sawn product from Russia, so the manufactured product, at a much higher price into their country. Australia and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world where there's no protection. So there's no tariff, there's no resistance. So China will pay any price for our raw product. And that's what they're competing against. It's not a fair playing field. To put it another way, we export a whole heap of raw product, log out, and Australia exports finished product, that's structural timber, stuff we make in the southeast, other timber products back in. And the deficit or the difference is $2 billion. So we pay $2 billion above the price that we get for exporting and the price that we have bringing back in. There's a $2 billion difference per year. So that means how many jobs would $2 billion sustain? It would be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of jobs.
But don't we work on a global economy, though, where we've been trying to get rid of the idea of tariffs so that we all work on a level playing field? Now, I know that that's not necessarily great for jobs in the southeast, but if we're allowing our logs in a pure form straight from the forest to go overseas, paying $2 billion to have it processed and come back to us, isn't it worthwhile for us to be able to do that in the southeast? And why aren't we doing that for a domestic product anyway? Or is it the case that exporting the logs overseas and bringing it back in a finished form is actually cheaper than what we could do here in the Limestone Coast anyway?
Well, your second point's correct. However, we are New Zealand, the only countries where we don't have any protection for manufacturers. So it's not an even playing field. So China's going around saying, well, where can we get the wood from? Okay, we've got barriers now in Russia. We've got barriers in some of these Indonesian countries. Mm. Australia and New Zealand, there's no barriers there. So we'll take every scrap that we can get from you guys. Now, when that wood goes to China, it's not an equal playing field. They don't have the same OCHOK health and safety regulations that our manufacturers have. They don't have the same environmental considerations that our manufacturers have. And they don't have the same power or wages that our manufacturers have. So I'm all for an equal playing field, but I'm saying at the moment it's not an equal playing field. And if we keep going, we're going to see mills start shutting down. And that's going to be hundreds of jobs in the southeast lost because all these logs are going to keep going over to China. Now, I'm standing up and saying enough's enough. At my proposal isn't a 30% tariff on every log that goes out. It's a 30% tariff on every log that's not offered to the local market first. And the local market would have to pay export rates. So all I'm saying is, at least offer it to the locals first, and if they want it, well, then they can get it. If you don't offer it, there's 30% going on that log.
So taking a step back, are you saying that we're having issues with getting logs to mills in the Limestone Coast?
That's correct. Yeah, they're not even being offered because it's very easy to say, well, we're just going to load these trucks up and load the boats up and ship it off. I'm saying every piece of fibre has to be offered locally first. And if it's locally offered and the mills can't take it, or these new businesses that I'm talking about can't take it, sure, I expect that the growers would argue to me that they need a market for their unwanted fibre or log. I've got no problem with that.
Mm.
But what's happening at the moment, they're not even offering it. So China is saying we'll take more and more and more. And eventually, when contracts start running out with our manufacturers, we're going to find that the log doesn't even get offered. It just goes straight to China.
Is there something that the state government can do to alleviate the situation, or is it a case of putting pressure on the likes of federal member for Barker, Tony Passan, to see if something can be done federally?
Well, exports tariffs are a federal issue. I think the other thing where a state government can apply is the forest growers want to increase the size of their state. They want to grow more wood. The problem you've got with wood is there's normally a 30-year lag time between putting it in the ground and harvesting it. So, you know, it would have been nice 30 years ago if we'd started this conversation. But the actual states haven't grown over the last, you know, 6-7 years. And in actual fact, are getting smaller due to some other conditions that the state government has put in. So I do think there is a role for the state government to start looking at how can we work with the growers to expand this industry. But, you know, in terms of how logs are offered to the export market, that's something that we need to sit down. And I'd like to get everybody in the table and start having this this conversation eyeball to eyeball.
Troy, it's going to be something that we're going to be talking about, I'm sure, over the next couple of months. I'd love to get you back to talk more about it, and I'd love to talk to you about what's going on in the world of fracking at the moment with the 10-year moratorium on the table. Thanks for joining us this morning, though, and talking a little bit about our forestry industry here in the Limestone Coast.
Thank you, Ewan, and have a great day, listeners.
Triple M Rocks, Limestone Coast local sport. Thanks to Harvey Norman, Mount Gambier.
Morning again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, first for local sport. Now, we're talking Pioneers. They've got a week off to recover, refresh, etc. Now, there's a new player to the fold. He's played a few games now, and boy, has he made an impact. He's on the line. Good morning, Sam McDaniel.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, Sam. Now, you're an interesting story because going way back, you're born in Hobart, and the sport was soccer. What got you over to basketball?
It was really just it wasn't nothing necessarily that got me over to basketball. It was just my dad played in the NBL for 12 seasons, so it was always an interest of mine. But you know, starting off, I really loved soccer. Gave that a go, and it wasn't going as well for me as I thought it would. So I just came over to basketball and thought I'd give that one a try. So
From the island of Hobart over to Adelaide, and no doubt it all started. Who'd you first suit up for?
Basketball, I firstly played for Southern Tigers down in Morpher Vale in Adelaide. So, yeah, that was the first sort of club I played for.
Now, rep sides, no doubt, is where you progressed?
Yeah, definitely. Just from being in the gym every day and working on my stuff, working on my dribbling, working on my shooting and stuff, definitely Southern Tigers was the first place I was able to start getting better.
Yeah, and you obviously caught the attention of the state selectors because you got the chance to test yourself at that level.
Yeah, well, under 18s, I tried out for the state, for the SA state side, and got a reserve spot. Wasn't able to make that trip, but then under 20s, I tried out again and thankfully made that side and had a really good time over there. So.
Now, your bio tells us you're 22. You got a trip to America, and what did you bring back from America in terms of the development of your game, Sam?
Development in America, I would say just I learned a lot, you know, to do with the IQ of the game, reading the game, making decisions, things like that. And then obviously the physical side of things, I was able to work on my game a lot, you know, to have great facilities and great opportunities, you know, for you to just get in the gym and work on your body and work on the skill set you need to become a better basketball player.
Now, realistically, and that's the operative word at 22, you've got a lot of basketball ahead of you. Where are you looking to improve, particularly this season going ahead in your game?
Particularly, I'd say that my shooting is going pretty well for me at the moment.
Certainly is.
yeah, I'd say probably finishing around the rim and things like that, finishing in close. And then I want to be able to make my teammates better as well. I want to get better at passing and things like that, dribbling. And, yeah, there's a lot of areas I can definitely improve on.
And no doubt Coach Hill's right on the mark with those things. Now, just before I let you go, realistic goals going ahead. What have you set yourself in terms of your future targets or where you want to go with your ball?
Goals for this year, there's no doubt that I have the NBL in my mind. I believe that I'm good enough to play in the NBL. That's just me speaking from a confident,
you've got to be positive,
confident side. But yeah, that's the goal. You know, the first, well, not the first, but, you know, a team that's able to give me an opportunity, that would be great for me. Mm. But if that doesn't happen, if the NBL doesn't happen for me this year, then there'll be some opportunities for me in Europe as well. So
I've been talking to Sam McDaniel, and he's on the trail, and he's made an impact already, and it'll only get better. Sam, all the best to you and the Pioneers for the rest of the season, and all we can do is win a game at a time.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We are doing some footy tipping this morning. We got Pity on the line. Pity, good morning, mate.
Morning, Yui. How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, mate, we've got $250 on the line this morning.
Should have got me kids to ring up.
Mate, we've got Phil on the line. Phil, Pity, Pity, Phil.
Morning. How are we all? Good. Who do you barrack for, Phil? West Coast Eagles, mate.
Oh, that's a shame. You can't take the vouchers don't go into state, mate.
I think we've proven we can play at Etihad.
Right.
Well, boys, as we kick off round number one, tonight we've got Port Adelaide taking on Richmond. Who do we reckon's going to win, Phil?
I reckon Richmond will beat Port Adelaide.
Yeah? What do you reckon, Pity?
Yeah, unfortunately, I thought we might have rolled them, but they're in too good a form, I think, Richmond.
Okay, fair enough. Cats are going to take on North Melbourne tomorrow. Who do we reckon is going to win, Phil?
Well, I'm hoping Geelong will.
I think Geelong will be a good game, though. North could upset them, but I've got to go Geelong.
Right.
Yeah.
Giants are going to take on the Suns. What do we reckon, boys?
Giants for sure.
St Kilda are going to take on Sydney. Who's going to walk away the winner?
Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney.
Brisbane are going to take on Essendon. What do we reckon, boys, on Sunday?
I just pray. Essendon.
That's who I'm tipping to, Pity, so yeah. We'll
all right. Fremantle and the Crows are going to take to the paddock. Who do we reckon is going to walk away the winner?
Oh, the Crows.
Yeah, I think the Crows. Five out's a big loss, though.
Now, on Monday, we've got the big freeze taking place. MCG, Melbourne are going to take on Collingwood. Who is going to be the winner?
Collingwood.
Oh, good. We have to go one different. I'll have to go Melbourne then.
We will see who walks away the winner on Tuesday morning, boys. Good luck with it all. Pity, what's going on at Arena Sports Store at the moment?
Well, Wendy, you don't need to confirm me to confirm that the winter's here, and exercise, it's not a nice word, but we need to do it in the winter because we can't get out and about like we can in the summer.
Absolutely. And you guys have got some great stuff to help us exercise in winter.
Yeah, look, we've got a full range of, we've got exercise bikes. There's about three different models, whether you want a spin bike, programmable, or just a normal bike. About three different rowers to choose from about $399, about three cross trainers, and about six models of treadmills ranging from $999 to about $2,500. So, and if people... some people take them and don't use them. We also hire out bikes, rowers and treadmills. So the hire business is good because people can trial them. If they do use them, they find after the month, we just give them a new treddy or rower or bike and take the hire off it. So exercise, it's not a nice word, but we've got to do it.
And we've got it covered at Arena.
Yes, you are, yeah.
Pity, we're going to catch up on Tuesday. We'll find out how the weekend of footy ends up. Good luck, all right?
All right, have a good weekend, Huey.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
All thanks to Harvey Norman in Mount Gambier, the biggest range and the best prices. In our lost file today, we've got a Shih Tzu dog and a Siamese cat that have both been lost in Mount Gambier. In our found file today, we've got a black and white cat that's been found in Mount Gambier as well. Now, if you'd like any details on our lost and founds, or if you'd like to place a lost and found, 87255155. Is the number. Now, just before I head off today, we're heading into a long weekend and it is going to be so much great stuff going on across the Limestone Coast. There's a couple of great exhibitions on up in Millicent, one at the Millicent Gallery, one is Shipwrecks, which is on at the Visitor Information Centre in Millicent. There is the Kelpie Festival taking place over in Caston for the long weekend. The BMX state titles are on in the Blue Lake City. Health, Harmony and Happiness Festival is on in Robe. The Tour de France is taking place on the weekend. The Southern State Highland Dance Championships are on. And this weekend, Terracon and the Narracourt Historic Vehicle Club Market Day are both taking place in Narracourt. Also this weekend, the Southeast Radio Group have got their annual convention and the Australian Fox Hunting Championships. It's going to be fantastic. And if you'd like to be part of it tomorrow at the main corner, the Worldwide Knit in Public Day is taking place. Now, up at Beachport, the Junior Surf Lifesaving Club have got their inflatable rescue boat state carnival on this weekend. The Australian Doctors Orchestra, Karch has been talking about it all day today. There's going to be a concert for the Stand Like Stone Foundation at the Sir Robert Holtman Theatre this weekend. And the Blacksmith's Day at Millicent Museum is taking place on Monday. Now, if you know of any other events that are going on across the region, make sure you let us know on the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page. Look out for our post later on today and have a fantastic and safe weekend, no matter what you're doing in the Limestone Coast.